where do the Rockets go from here, Danny? I know that you're writing about this coming up here. It's just ridiculous to me. Like, I have no idea where this team is going to go.
So, yeah, I've been working on my solo offseason preview for The Athletic. And let's separate this out from personnel on the court and everything else. So they have the least flexible roster in the entire NBA. And there are a couple different reasons why. One is they have some good players that are on what I would consider below market contracts. That would be Robert Covington has 2 years left and about a combined $25 million, so about 12-13 a year, which is unbelievable value from that contract. The one that Hinkie basically set up, where it was, you know, they gave him a balloon payment when they had cap space, and then all the other years were cheap. PJ Tucker, $8 million, absolutely sign me up. Then Harden, MVP candidate, he's making over 40. Russell Westbrook, not an MVP candidate anymore, he's making over 40. So the challenge for the Rockets is they don't. The only like middle salaries they have are all really good players. They have no young assets. They have so few draft picks available because of the trades that they've made before, that their roster to me it's not set in stone, but it's like quickrete. You know, it's getting pretty close, and that's just where it is right now. Like, yeah, if they wanted to move James Harden, maybe they could make that happen. But like, Russell Westbrook is one of the more negative contracts to be in the league, and I don't know where his constituencies lie anymore, especially at 44 million a year.
Yeah,
so that's a big part.
Like, I think Russell Westbrook is like, if he hit the free agency market, I think he'd probably still get 4 years, $100 million. Like, I think someone would probably pay that to him, but that's still $20 million.
I don't think he would get that. I think, especially when you consider how he's not a ceiling raiser. We know that for sure right now, but he's also, I don't know how much of a floor raiser he is at this point in his career. Like, yes, he looked worse in these playoffs because he wasn't right physically. And I mean, that, remember, he also had COVID and dealt with this quad issue. And so that is a real challenge. But his limitations are so pronounced, and he could be a solid regular season player, but I don't think that he's at the point yet where he, like, you think about all of the other best, like, is he the best offensive player on a good team anymore? Even if they, like, a more, like, could he, let's say you plop him on the Charlotte Hornets. Does he make them a top 15 offense? I don't think so. He'd help a lot.
I think he does.
I don't think he does. I think he helps a lot, and he makes a big difference, but I don't think he does that. And
I mean, let's say those first 23 games in Houston, like, were an adjustment period, right? And then eventually they decided to move Clint Capella, and that really opened things up for him. And then, you know, James Harden started to slow down a little bit. I think he might have been a little bit banged up, if I remember correctly, early in the season. Back to December or whatever. From December 16th through when the stoppage was, Russell Westbrook was averaging 31.3 points, 8.1 rebounds, and 7 assists a game.
Yeah. Worth remembering how much Daryl Morey had to move heaven and earth to make that work for him. You know, if you have the ability to have shooting at every other position, then yeah, Russell Westbrook can be that. But that's a luxury that very few teams have.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. But I think someone would probably, like, I'm not even saying he's going to get the max for what he is, because his max is 35% right now. So it's essentially $35 million. I think someone would pay him 4 years, maybe 3 years, 75, but I think he'd get 25 a year.
But anyway, undervalue, negative value contract.
Yeah, the point is that, like, yeah, it's a contract that's $20 million per year underwater, probably. And that's even with Russ being a very good player still.
Right. And Harden, very good player, still really close to the peak of his powers. And I don't think, you know, if you move Harden, then that's totally transforming the team. A lot of the other stuff they have doesn't make as much sense, depending on what you get in the terms. So really, so the challenge is you have these two below market guys in Covington and Tucker. If you move them, your team's probably going to get worse because there aren't that many good players that make the amount of money they make. And then, so that really leaves Eric Gordon. Gordon has 3 fully guaranteed years left, and about $18 million a year is a good rough proxy for him. There is a non-guaranteed year at the end of that, but I don't think that matters a ton because I don't think he's going to be worth $21 million then. So it's really hard to change over this roster. They don't have sweeteners to make it better, and if the tax is a foundational concern for them, which I think it is, even though Tillman Fertitta can say as many things to outlets as to deny that as he wants, I look at what they've actually done. And what they've actually done is used assets to avoid the luxury tax since he has taken over ownership. So that is what I will assume moving forward. And they could do an Oklahoma City Thunder situation where they pay the tax, but they pay the tax later than they should have, and that doesn't yield as much fruit as it would have if they had done it in the prime years. Possible, not definite. But so then what that means is...
I will say we have no evidence that Tillman Fertitta is ever going
to
do that.
Oh, great. Agreed. I mean, the assumption has to be until he does it that he will not. And I mean, the team has been materially worse. When you don't do that for a title contender, my assumption is that you're not going to do it after that. Right. But
part of it too is like they made a miscalculation on the Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul deal because it, you know, based off of reports, Chris Paul didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah. And also, like, I mean, Chris Paul was far healthier this year than he had been for the Rockets at various moments. And there are a bunch of other kind of other parts of that overall equation. But so the Rockets have the least, in my opinion, the least flexible roster in the NBA. And it's not only inflexible in terms of the books and the players are hard to trade, it's also a very specific roster. Like, you know, like you can't play a ton of different ways with this team. So Mike D'Antoni is not going to be their coach next year. I don't know how dramatically different. I mean, you could do certain things in terms of like what you do offensively and defensively, but you can't like run something totally different. So there are a couple of things here. So one, I think that you run into the first big challenge is anytime you're hiring a new coach, a proper owner will evaluate their general manager as well, because one of the things a different general manager would want to do most is hire their own coach. And so if you basically entrusting a GM with a coaching decision buys them some time. And so maybe he wanted Morey for longer, maybe it was uncertain. That's a decision that Fertitta needs to make now. And then it gets into this other thing, which is how desirable of a job is either the general manager or the coaching job in Houston. And it's desirable because they have a lot of talent. Like, they are a very good team, but it is not desirable because the roster will continue to get worse because they don't have players on the positive side of the aging curve that are good. And they, you know, age is not going to help them. They're going to get more limited athletically. They're going to, you know, it's going to be a real challenge. So I think that it's a real challenge. Now, they will get a good coach because there aren't that many